Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. The topic of our podcast today is the Wineville Chicken Coop murders. It's an interesting story. It's got some twists and turns. It's actually two stories in one. So you can double your value today.
Wow.
Since we've been off for a while.
No, not you.
Well, I was away. Yeah. But I'm back.
Clearly.
Yes, you are. Back, and we're back to producing the high-quality podcast that people have come to know and
love. Are we going
to
do high quality now?
I do not believe anybody has come to expect high quality from us.
Well, but maybe they should. Maybe they should, because that's our resolution for 2016, to do high-quality podcasts. Maybe that's not something that we should maybe set a more reasonable goal.
We really should. We're going to have to fire our producer and half the talent if we can do that. But go ahead.
Yeah, you'll find something else, Colonel.
Okay, let me introduce our panel. Joining me to my left is a very lovely and talented, multi-talented, actually. She has more than one talent. And that's the multi-colored hair, Brandy.
I'm fine, Tim.
Your hair looks lovely.
Thank you. I'm fine.
Did you do something different with it?
I washed it.
She's always doing something different with her hair. Her hair like a shirt to her. Every day it's a different color.
Mm-hmm. It looks nice. It looks lovely.
Thank you.
And, of course, we're also joined, as always, by the debonair, the man of a thousand faces, the most dangerous man in podcasting, the Honorable Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Couldn't be better, Timmy. Couldn't be better.
Are you ready for the holidays?
Glad you're back. I appreciate you sending me all the pictures of you and the lovely lady you was with down in...
Lovely Clara
down in
Medellin.
You was like a little Pablo Escobar down there, Timmy.
No, I was not. I was not. You know what, dude? I forgot to tell you guys this. When we went to Guadalupe, we took a bus, right? And...
You didn't take a donkey?
No, we took a bus. And
we're used to that.
You know, traffic's crazy down there or whatever. But we had to go through a police check, a stop. And the cops brought on a dog, and the fucking dog sat right beside me. Mm-hmm. He walks up to me, I'm like row four or something, he sits right beside me. So,
were he the Xanax detector?
No, man, I didn't have anything on me. So I'm thinking, I mean, I didn't have anything on me, but I'm thinking I'm going to have to get out and talk to these guys or whatever. They're going to harass me. So, the cop comes at the front of the bus and he kind of motions toward me to come toward him. So I'm like really slowly getting up and I'm barely getting out of my seat, and the guy who's sitting directly in front of me jumps up and walks up to the cop. He had a plastic bag. I don't know what was in it, but the cop took him off of the bus, and he just waved the bus driver on, so we left. But yeah.
You take him off and shoot him?
Just right there? I don't know if he had anything or whatever, but I thought, oh, man. I was thinking I'm going to be on Locked Up Abroad. I'm going to be...
Because we can't come get you.
Some
Colonel can't leave the country, and I don't want to.
He can leave. He just can't get back in.
Yeah, I can't get back in.
Yeah. But, no, I had a wonderful time in Colombia. It's a beautiful country, and we had a great time. But so I know when I was away, you guys were hard at work researching for this podcast.
Yeah, that's what we was doing, too.
We were hard at work.
This topic of today was suggested to us by Celine. So thank you, Celine. This is the second one that she gave us, so... We appreciate that. Do we have any shout-outs, Colonel?
We're going to have to make Celine part of the staff.
Yeah, she really, you know, she's in this. Well, she suggested.
She could be an intern.
She suggested the serial killer, the guy in Alaska. I forget his name, Benson.
The hunter.
Yeah.
The hunter guy.
And then on the link that she sent us a link with a few good stories, and that was one of them. And this is another one. It's another cool story she sent us. So thank you, Celine in Michigan. We appreciate that and hope you're having a wonderful holidays. Who else do we want to give a shout out to today?
Well, Carl? Of course, we always want to give a shout out to Lady Beverly.
Right.
She's in England over there, and she occasionally stays in touch with me. She's hanging in there. She's doing well.
That's good to hear.
Robin Kay, we'd like to give a shout out to him. He is involved in the Facebook page and.
Yeah, he I think he is also on our Twitter page.
You know, and I have a question. Weren't we trying to get our YouTube channel going?
Yes.
Didn't we give that assignment to somebody who had a day off?
It was someone, one of our team members that was not either you or I.
That is a true statement.
So, Colonel, how is the our YouTube channel coming along?
YouTube channel coming along just fine to
is
me.
It? I got is my because yeah. You were focused on getting cheese and crackers when we talked to you.
Well, I had not eaten all day. Man can't have some cheese and crackers. So, anyway.
If you could multitask.
Could I get back to my shout-outs here? These people are important.
Yeah, but we will like to say we are.
Those people we could probably
employ to
do our
YouTube
channel.
Within the next
couple
weeks, we're going to be on the YouTube, okay?
Uh-huh. But we are on Twitter now.
We are
and
on
you
Twitter.
Can please join us at HistoryDweebs1. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
What? Yeah. And we got Michael. He left us a very nice review on iTunes. That was very nice of him. Mary Ray.
Yeah, we love the iTunes reviews.
Yeah, Mary Ray. Thank you for following. Thank you for listening. For participating in discussions on the Facebook page. Allie.
Yeah, she said.
Janet. Steven, thanks for the... Steven, and you made a comment on Twitter that I was too much of a feminist. And
he Steven, quoted the book of Titus.
And you did. And you was, you was dead on. But here's the thing, Steven. Somewhere along the line, things went all astray. They went askew, and they let these devils own property. They let them vote. They let them... I mean, it's like we're treating them like like the equal now. Now, we don't pay them. You know, we still only pay them, what, 63 cents for every dollar?
Something. I don't know. I know I get screwed.
Yeah, well, you know, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the colonel got to throw him a bone every once in a while.
We wish you would keep that bone.
Yeah, and now, Colonel, in our last podcast, when we did on Dennis Nielsen, you mentioned that you did not like omelets with mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And Allie took exception to that because she's saying that there's nothing wrong with mushrooms in your omelets.
Well, and you know what? You might as well just say there ain't nothing wrong with bunnies in your omelets, Timmy. Just
bunnies?
Open up your omelet
bunnies?
And find a bunny.
Bunny?
A bunny. A bunny, yeah.
Okay.
Bunny, why don't you put some rattlesnake meat in my omelet, too? You know, I mean, like, you got any squid, any octopus, any calamari? I'd like a calamari omelet. There's things that belong, and there's ham, there's cheese. Maybe, if the colonel feeling wild, I'll go with a little bit of onion and green pepper.
Okay.
Put a little hot sauce
but
on
no
it.
But no mushroom.
Mushroom grows in the dirt and under the trees, and you got to go in the woods and get. It's just not a natural food. You know what mushrooms will come?
Natural food.
No, people that were starving to death ate mushrooms, Timmy. You might as well put tree bark on your omelet. I mean, it's all stuff you find out.
Oh my god.
Okay, any more shout outs, Carol?
Tara B.
Yeah.
We appreciate the iTunes review. We appreciate you staying so involved on Twitter and on the Facebook page. Tara V actually sent me a Twitter.
Sent you a Twitter?
Sent you a Twitter?
Sent me a Twitter. A tweet.
Sent you a Twitter?
She sent me a tweet.
A tweet.
And that was very, very sweet.
Oh, yeah. She loves the interaction between you and your friend over here, the devil.
And she did actually refer to you as the devil, too.
No, she said Brandy. But she said Brandy with an I.
She did say Brandy with an I. I got a big kick out of that. And it is...
We always tease Brandy and we tell
that's
her...
That's her stripper name.
Yeah, it's a stripper name.
Brandy a few years back, and this is... I mean, you know, the colonel don't judge.
Right.
You know,
you're not judgmental.
I'm not a judgmental man.
No.
And what the devil head did to work her way through college.
It's up to her. I mean, it's her, up to her and her God.
It's between her and
Satan.
Her and Satan. And Brandy spent a lot of time on the pole.
Yeah.
Both literally and metaphorically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she paid her way through college.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, she
with those big heels.
With the big heels. She would spell her name B-R-A-N-D-I.
Yeah.
And dot it with a little smiley face.
Or a heart.
Or a little heart.
Yeah.
Something like that. So, you know, but there ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, there is a lot of things wrong with that, but...
We accept you.
We don't really even accept you, but we can't do nothing about
right.
you.
Right. Okay. Any other shout-outs or we're done?
Of course, we got our last and final shout-out is to who?
Dottie Scott.
Do I have to say
her name? To my mom, yes.
Dottie Scott, the lovely, beautiful, and smart Dottie Scott.
But also to Casey, because he's active on our Twitter.
Casey.
Twitter.
It's
not a page, is it?
We need to get Casey back up here.
Yeah, we do.
I miss Casey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do, too. You can tell who in their family got the brains. Of course, Casey is mm-hmm. Brandy's brother.
Yeah, the smart one. He's a smart one.
Okay. I see.
Yeah, he's younger, right?
Yes, he's the youngest of us.
Now, how was it when you was in 7th grade? 8th grade, 9th grade, and he was like in 3rd grade, and he was helping you with your homework.
Yeah, how did you feel?
How did you feel about that?
The audience cannot see those hand gestures.
Yeah, and they can't see the hurtful look on her face.
Okay, let's get started with the stories.
Wow.
This is a sick one. I don't like this guy.
Yeah, he is sick. This is, like I said, it's kind of two stories in one. There's a story of a serial killer, but also a story of a missing child. So
let's start the first story.
Yes, let's do. This is the Wineville Chicken Coop Murders. They were a series of abductions and murders of young boys that occurred in Los Angeles and Riverside County, California, in 1928. There were four known victims, although it's suspected that there were many more. On February 2nd, 1928, which was
leap year,
Groundhog's Day.
February what?
February 2nd.
Oh, I thought you said.
I thought you said 22nd.
No, February 2nd. 28. Had you read the story, you would know I was talking about February 2nd, 1928.
But no, I thought you misspoke, as you tend to do.
I never misspoke in my life. On February 2nd, 1928, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department found a burlap bag containing a headless boy in a ditch. I hate when that happens.
The whole boy was in the bag?
The whole boy, except for his head.
That's how he fit into the bag.
Yeah, otherwise his head would probably have been sticking out, but that's not nice to say. He was probably a nice young man, but they found the body of a headless body in this burlap bag in a ditch alongside the road.
Is he a horseman?
I don't know what he was. It was believed to have been the body of a young Latino male.
And what did they call him throughout the story?
The headless Mexican boy.
Yeah, or as Donald Trump says, a good Mexican.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. It's not. Yeah,
harsh.
No, but you know, seriously, this was 1928. So if
they just got the called him the headless Mexican.
That's why it's hard.
I know what they called him. I'm here. Hear him.
It's hard to do some of these stories because you have to, you have to think about the language that they use at the time. But that's not, wouldn't be acceptable today. But they did, as the colonel said, they referred to him as the headless Mexican.
I do not believe that Mexican people are offended by being referred to as Mexican. I think that's something that they're all right with, Timmy.
No, never mind.
I do not believe the Mexican is a slur.
No, I'm not saying it's a slur. Let's move on.
I don't think it means what you think it means.
I think a Swede, calling somebody a Swede, might be a slur.
Yeah. Swede.
Okay, let's move on, shall we?
Okay.
That was the first victim of this crime spree. The second was a young boy named Walter Collins. He was 9 years old. On March 10th of 1928, less than a month later, 9-year-old Walter Collins disappeared on his way to the movies. in the Mount Washington area of Los Angeles. And this, we'll get into this story because this has a different, just like I said, it's kind of two stories in one, and it has its own little background and story, interesting tell. So we'll get to that in a minute. So that's our second victim, Walter Collins, age 9. Now, on May 16th, which is what, about 2 months later, 1928, Lewis Winslow, age 12, and his brother Nelson, age 10. And why would you name your kids Lewis and Nelson? I mean,
family name.
Maybe. But anyway, young Lewis, age 12, and his brother, age 10, were abducted from their home in nearby Pomona, California. So when this occurred, the Los Angeles police became concerned that they had either a serial kidnapper or a killer on the loose. So they picked right up on that. So of the four victims, so we have four victims. We have the headless Mexican boy. We have Walter Collins, the 9-year-old who disappeared on his way to the movies. And then we have the two brothers, right? The two Winslow brothers.
And here's a peculiar thing that when you go through this story that I never really could figure out is the headless Mexican boy.
Well, and the point I was making about...
Nobody ever reported him missing.
No, and it could have been, I mean, it could have been like he was like a...
I mean, and back in that time, even in that time, you had your transient workers
right.
that would come up, but still... And maybe, I don't know, maybe they were afraid to go to police. But.
And I'm sure there was a lot. And that's what my point about, we don't even know his nationality. Maybe he'd been Guatemalan or something. We don't know. But they just assumed he was Mexican, I guess, because he was from that area. But anyway, right, there's really no whole lot on the young...
I found it peculiar that just there was no missing, you know.
And again, they were probably at the time, there was probably some bias, and, you know, they probably just went a whole lot. The police were, you know, had it just been for that body, they probably wouldn't have had a whole lot to go on. But anyway, back to Walter Collins. He was, of the four victims, Walter Collins, the 9-year-old that disappeared on his way to the movie theater. He got his case got the most media coverage. It became a national story, not only for the disappearance of young Walter, but for his apparent return. And this gets a little strange. It's sort of like that Bobby Dunbar story we covered, Colonel, a couple weeks ago. 9-year-old Walter Collins disappeared on his way to the movies on March 10th, 1928. His disappearance received national attention. And the Los Angeles Police Department followed up on hundreds of different leads without success. So there was a lot of pressure for the police to solve this mystery. The police faced a lot of negative publicity. And, again, there was a lot of pressure for them to solve the case. About 5 months later, they found a boy who was claiming to be Walter in DeKalb County, Illinois. That's up in near Scott K country, I think. Letters and photographs were exchanged, so they took pictures of this young man and sent it to the Los Angeles Police Department, and they took the photos to Walter's mother, Christine Collins, who worked as a telephone operator, and they paid for the boy to be brought to Los Angeles so they could, you know, she could see him up close. And if this story sounds familiar, it's because there was a movie made about it called The Changeling.
The Changeling.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Julia Roberts?
No, it was Angelina Jolie.
Angelina Jolie
a few years ago. So, anyway, they had a public reunion that was organized by the police, and the police was ready to put this thing to bed, right, because they was getting a lot of pressure to solve this thing. And they was hoping this reunion, this happy story, would kind of negate some of the bad publicity that they received for failing to solve this case. And it was, you know, it's uplifting human interest story, and well, anyway, it was all uplifting. It was, you know, it was a interesting human interest story. The problem is, the child was not was not Walter. Christine Collins told him that she told the officer in charge of the case, Captain J.J. Jones, to take the boy home back to Illinois.
Try him out.
Yeah, because this was not her kid, and JJ said just that. Please take him home and try him out for a couple of weeks.
It, what's interesting is how the boy got there.
Yeah.
He saw the picture.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna get there. Okay.
Yeah,
so
easy.
Skipping around.
Had you read the whole story?
So 3 weeks later, so Christine takes him and tries him out, I guess. And 3 weeks later, she returns to see Captain Jones, and she's persistent in her claim that the boy was not Walter. So she had dental records and all kind of medical records and pictures and photographs that she took. She took it to Captain Jones, and as a result, he had her committed to the psychiatric ward at Los Angeles County Hospital under a Code 12, which is a term they use for someone who commits someone who was deemed difficult or an inconvenience.
God, it's a good thing they don't have that now.
You know what? I'm going to quit calling you the devil. I'm just going to start calling you Code 12 from now on.
It's hurtful.
So anyway, during...
you just don't care who you hurt, do you?
During Christine Collins' incarceration, so she's just trying to get her kid back.
Her unfortunate incarceration.
Unfortunate incarceration. She's locked up in the loony bin now. They question a boy, and the boy spills the bean. Now, this kid's 12 years old. So Walter was 9. This kid's 12.
You just figure close enough.
Well, his name was actually Arthur Hutchins Jr.
He had a growth spurt.
Yeah, I guess. Man. He was a runaway from Illinois. He was originally from Iowa. He was a drifter at a roadside cafe in Illinois.
And a Gandhi dancer.
He was working at a waitress at a cocktail bar.
Well, he had ran into this drifter, and this drifter told young Arnold that he looked like the boy that was missing, Walter. So Hutchinson came up with a plan to impersonate Walter, and his motive was to get to Hollywood so he could meet his favorite actor, Tom Mix.
Yeah.
Clearly.
And I'll tell you what, and to go back to, you know, just take him home for 3 months and try him out.
Yeah.
Now, I got 4 kids.
Yeah.
If they would have given me
a trial
return policy on them, just try him out for 3 months, I'd have 2 kids right now.
You got to hang on to the receipt.
Are you going to tell us which one?
You got to hang on to the receipt for that
you
shit.
You got to hang on.
Yeah.
I ain't going to say which two, but I got 4. 2 of you wouldn't be here. You'd be somewhere else. I think you know who you are, too.
So, yeah, this kid's Arthur.
Logan.
Poor Logan. This kid, Arthur, he just wanted to see his favorite actor, Tom Mix, who was a cowboy actor back in the day. So, after 10 days, Christine Collins was finally released from her Code 12 internment. From her Code 12 internment. Because she was either deemed difficult or inconvenient. And then she proceeded to file a lawsuit against the Los Angeles Police Department, which people would tend to do if you were
committed.
You know, if they gave you the wrong kid and they committed you and false imprisonment and all that. So, as I mentioned, this part of the story, this strange part of the story, and we'll talk about what happened to these characters later on, but this part of the strange part of the story was depicted in the 2008 film, The Chain Gang. We'll give an update on that a little bit later on. But now let's talk about...
There's an update?
The main suspect in these 4 murders. Remember, Walter Collins was just one of the 4.
Gotcha.
We had the headless Mexican boy and the Winslow brothers. And a suspect came into focus, and Brandy's going to tell us about that.
If Code 12 over here could put the Candy Crush down, she maybe could tell us about the suspect.
Yes, Brandy, please tell us about the suspect, Mr. Northcott.
You're a dick.
What level are you on there, devil?
You don't worry about what level I'm on, honey. I'm a level way above you.
Yeah, well.
That's where I am.
I'm going to code 12 both of you.
So, should we just run down the hall at work yelling, code 12, code 12? So, the main suspect in the Mexican boy's murder... And
The headless Mexican boy,
and Walter Collins and the Winslow brother kidnapping case was a guy named Gordon Northcott. Gordon was born in Bladworth, Saskatchewan, Canada.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Canada on November 9th of 1908.
I'm sure it's a lovely place.
It sounds awful.
No, it's beautiful.
He didn't have a happy childhood, and he claimed that his father sodomized him when he was 10.
He shouldn't have done that.
His father finished...
Had it coming.
What?
At 10?
You ain't had no kids, Timmy.
Well, I think you know, he needs to get over it. I mean, it was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
So, his father finished his life in a lunatic asylum.
The father did?
The father did, yes. And one of Northcott's paternal uncles died years later.
Was he a code 12?
I don't think so.
I believe he was a code 15.
That's for someone who sodomizes their kids.
That's code brown.
Code brown. Oh, God.
That's so awful.
God damn it, you guys. I lost my spot. Okay. And one of Northcott's paternal uncles died years later in San Quentin while serving a life term for murder. I don't know what the code for that is.
Well, so his family tree is...
His family tree is a wreath.
Yes.
It's just a circle. So he, at the age of 16, Gordon moved to Los Angeles evidently not his father.
With his mother.
With his mother in 1924. Well, you have here with his parents. And
yeah, with his mom.
So in 1924, he moves to L.A. And, well, no, evidently his father's still alive somewhere in here. Northcott asked his father to purchase a plot of land in Wineville, California.
And he sodomized him.
That happens in Wineville. Let's see. On this land, Gordon built a chicken ranch and a house with the help of his father, who was in the construction business, and Gordon's 12-year-old nephew, Sanford. Poor Sanford.
Yeah, Sanford really gets screwed in this story.
Literally, he just, yeah. So Sanford had come down from Canada to stay with Gordon and help him with the ranch. In February of 1928, so that would make Northcott 20 years old, mm-hmm. about the same time the headless Mexican boy's body was found, in Canada, Sanford's older sister, Jessie, became suspicious of letters that Sanford was being forced to send home from the ranch that assured her that the family... assured the family that he was well.
Yeah, so young Sanford, who was a young teenager at the time, he's living with Northcott.
Yes.
Who's 20 at the time, and sending these letters home that saying, hey, everything is great, but they're not believing
it's
it.
It's an awesome recap.
Thank you.
So, in August of 1928, 19-year-old Jessie Clark visited Sanford, who was now 15, in Wineville. She was concerned about his welfare. And at that time, when she came down, Sanford told her he feared for his life. One night, while Northcott was asleep, Jessie learned from Sanford of the horrors and the murders that had taken place at Northcott's chicken ranch. Sanford himself was a victim of his uncle Northcott's devious acts. He was molested and severely abused by his uncle. A little after Clark moved in, Northcott was scouting for young boys and would bring them back to the ranch. And the boys always felt comfortable getting in the car with him because they would see young Sanford sitting in the back, in the passenger seat, and he would make a story up, like, your parents were in this terrible car accident, and they asked me to bring you to the hospital. So the adolescent boys, they're naive, and they, you know, respectfully obeyed.
This is back before Stranger Danger.
It is back before Stranger Danger. And nobody ever saw him again. And one of those boys happened to be Walter Collins. So after hearing these stories from her brother, Jessie was terrified. And fearing for her life, she returned to Canada.
So damn straight.
So, well, she left her brother.
Yeah, hell with that.
Godspeed, dude. I'm out.
Yeah.
Well, he's already been sodomized.
Bite the pillow a little harder. I gotta go.
I got to go. I got a roaster.
She did a code 12.
Yes, she did. She was out. So she had become so terrified of what she learned that she told immigration officials
Nice.
That her brother was in the country illegally in an attempt to get her brother away from Northcott.
That's smart. She went to INS and says, hey.
You don't mess with them.
No, you don't mess with those people.
In September of 1928, the LAPD visited Northcott's ranch in Wineville. Police went to the ranch to investigate, but Northcott and his mother, Sarah Louise Northcott, had already fled to Canada. They interviewed Sanford. Upon questioning him, Sanford broke down and relayed the hideous events that had taken place in the chicken coops. When shown pictures of missing boys, Clark pointed out Walter as one of the victims.
Poor Walter.
Mm-hmm. Well, poor Sanford.
Yeah,
Sanford had it the worst because he had it. It was an ongoing thing for Sanford.
Yeah, he was continuing.
He didn't get killed, but
he continued to get raped, and he had to participate.
Didn't they make a show out of him later?
So. Did they?
I don't know.
When he had a kid.
Sanford and Son.
There Sanford and Son, yeah.
He had moved to South Central Los Angeles and became a drug dealer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now Sarah Louise Northcutt and Gordon, they take off for the border. They have
Sarah was the mom.
Yeah, Sarah was the mom, and she was a crazy ass bitch too.
Yeah.
Evidently she knew what was going on. Yeah. Or did he just grab her?
No, she knew what had been going on for a long time.
And the whole family was whacked.
Oh, yeah. So they run to...
Wiggity whack.
Instead of running to Mexico, which would make more sense, they headed to Canada.
That's where they're from.
Yeah, that's where they're from. And, Canadians usually have more sense than Americans.
Yeah, so you ain't going to go up to Canada and say, oh, I'm seeking asylum because I sodomized and killed a bunch of boys. I want to, you know...
Well, they were going
no,
home.
They're going to send
they
your ass right back.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, you go to Mexico... They don't even use just another gringo down there. So that's where the outlaws tended to be.
But they have dick inspectors down there.
Your grasp of Mexican culture is staggering.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying. I've been to Tijuana. I know how it goes.
Yeah.
So anyway, they get arrested in Canada, and Canada ships them right there. They're like, we don't want this trash up here. Send them right back.
Yeah, extradited them then.
That's the actual legal... Yeah, I forgot you have a law degree.
he failed the bar.
I did not take the fucking bar.
They extradited them back to the United States.
Correct.
Now, upon her return from Canada, Sarah Louise, she just pled guilty to killing Walter Collins.
She's
like, fuck it, I killed him.
Over here.
Here you go. Here you go.
Yeah. She probably just needed a break.
Yeah, I know. She's tired.
Just tired. Tired of watching my son sodomize. Yeah.
Three hots in a cot right here.
So the Judge Morton sentenced her to life in prison on December 31st. He spared her from execution because she was a woman. See, that's kind of...
Yeah, I see the deal was... I think she was confessing to protect her son.
She was confessing, and she got sent up to Tehachapi. State prison
it's
in
a
California.
Lovely women's prison.
Oh man!
Can
you imagine being in a women's prison, Colonel? They would take advantage of you.
He couldn't get laid going in a women's prison with a handful of partners.
You know what? They'd objectify
and
me.
And some Kit Kats. He couldn't get laid.
They'd objectify me. I'd probably be. You know what? If I was in a women's
prison with an open commissary.
Yeah, he still couldn't get laid.
So, anyway, Sarah Northcutt, she gets sent up to Tehachapi Prison up in California.
Lovely prison.
And the woman only spent 12 years in jail.
Now, here's the thing. I was just going to put sit the state prison, but then I saw the name of it, and I wanted to hear you try to pronounce it, so that's why.
Tehachapi.
Okay. Well, really? Really? You're going to dog on somebody's pronunciation?
No, because let me tell you, he had pronounced this name of this Louisiana town that was in the last story, Bobby Dunbar's story, and then one of our viewers corrected it.
Oh,
so,
did they?
Yes, so we were saying it wrong.
Well, you know what, viewer? I do appreciate you correcting me.
Viewers we would have on a YouTube channel.
Which we don't have.
Which we don't have.
Occasionally, the colonel make a mistake on pronunciation.
Okay, so she sent up.
I like Timmy. But anyway, during her sentence. Now, here's some of the crazy-ass shit she woman says during her sentence. She was a Code 12. She claimed his son was innocent and made these crazy-ass claims about his parentage.
Right.
What?
One.
I'm not sure they're so crazy, considering that family.
That he was the illegitimate son by an English nobleman.
Oh, it could happen.
The other was that she was Gordon's grandmother, and he was the result of incest between her husband, George Cyrus, later on, that's Miley Cyrus's great-great-granddaddy.
That's not true.
George Cyrus Northcutt and a daughter. She said husband was banging the daughter. This little freak came out.
So he's his own uncle?
I hate that.
Yeah. He's his own stepbrother, too, or some shit. But so anyway, she also said that as a child, Gordon was sexually abused by the entire family.
So they just passed him around at Christmas
parties? Passed him around. The dog got him, apparently. I mean, just the entire family. It was like Thanksgiving. He hated Thanksgiving when, like,
I'm sure big, cousins came over.
They were just, oh, what do we got this year for Christmas? Oh, Gordon again. Okay, here we go. Yeah. So now,
poor Gordon.
Northcutt.
Fuck him.
This son bitch was just crazy as hell, too, in the trial. Yeah, he'd amuse himself by playing mind games with the victim's parents and danced around the police all the time, neither denying nor confirming anything. Now, somebody needed. Now, here's the easy way to deal with. See, this is called kernel justice.
Yeah.
Okay? You say, oh, you want to be a wise guy. You want to be a funny guy.
Let's see wise how funny ass. This is. Oh, wise guy.
Wise
ass.
Wise guy. Yeah, so what you do is you grab him by the hair right in the front, and you shove the pistol down their throat, and you say, now how funny is this? And if you bang the head real hard on the table, the teeth all break out, then you pull the gun out, and they're crying. It's like, oh, you ain't such a jokester no more, and then you shoot him in the kneecap, because that shit won't kill him, make him hurt like a
You know you're kind of a fucktard, right? Like, you just say a bunch of words that...
Have you ever dealt with a criminal?
Yes. Well, Am I sitting here with you?
Are they rehabilitated?
No.
Well, see, the colonel has rehabilitated many a criminal. That's how he did it.
No, you haven't.
So, anyway, if he were to admit to some deed, he'd retract it later, and his mother did the same thing. Now, he did sign a slip of paper confessing to the murder of the unidentified Mexican youth.
The unidentified? What is it?
Unidentified.
I don't know what
And by the end of this stretch, Northcutt was convicted of slaying the Winslow brothers, 10 and 12 respectively, and the headless Mexican boy.
Okay, so the three murderers, the headless Mexican boy, and Nelson, and what was the other one's name?
Walter.
Walter, no, Winslow
brothers. No, his mom confessed to killing little Walter.
Yeah, but they think that she confessed to Walter she thought that was
just to throw him off the scent.
Yeah. So, but he's charged with, he's found guilty of three murders. Mom was one, right?
Right.
Okay.
Now, they go to the ranch and proof that they found the Winslow boys' remains. They found one of them, little bastard, played the ukulele, and that make you kill a kid anyway, playing the ukulele. But it was smashed up on the property.
He was like Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And one of them had written a letter to the parents saying that they were fine. That was in one of his library books. There were human remains at the crime scene, and now Lewis and Nelson Winslow's father led a lynch mob with the intent of hanging Northcutt after the completion of the trial, but before his sentencing. Police convinced the mob to disband. Nothing of Walter Collins was ever found. Not a bone, not a belonging, nary a hair that boy was ever shown up. Now, Clark's word and Sarah Northcutt's confession, and she, it's believed that she only did that to save her son, was the only thing that led detectives to believe that the boy was murdered at the ranch. Now, we go up to February 8th, 1929, a 27-day trial before Judge Freeman, Riverside County, California, ended. Gordon was convicted of the murders of an unidentified Mexican boy.
Headless Mexican boy.
Brothers Lewis and Nelson Winslow, aged 12 and 10. The brothers had been reported missing, obviously, from Pomona. And the jury heard that he kidnapped, molested, tortured, killed, and dismembered these, and some other boys through 1920.
Yeah, they think he had like 20 victims total.
And a lot of times he picked these boys up, molest them, whatever, and then take them back home. I mean, just drop them back off. He didn't kill everybody.
Right.
Now, much to the people's surprise, Miss Collins, that's Walter Collins' mother, she was really not around, had little to do with the trial. She wasn't
around.
This is
the mom that was incarcerated at Code 12.
She was
right.
Code 12. Shit. She afraid to be around the police now.
Yeah.
She liable to be a Code 14 next time.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway, as it was, Collins and her battle with the LAPD seemed stationed on a different level with the murders. Although in the end, they would all tie up together in some gruesome-ass package that
Yeah, she was. She sued him, right?
She did. She did engage the services of an attorney, mm-hmm. and
Gloria Aldridge,
and had a tort case a tort against case. Them.
Like that.
So now, on the day he was supposed to hang, he called in Miss Collins to tell her what really happened to her son.
Northcott did. Okay.
When she arrived, he laughed at her face and denied ever touching the boy.
What now, a see, prick. That's,
why, what a why prick. Somebody didn't just, did, well.
They should have lynched him.
They should have given him the criminal justice. Now, see, that's, when you do stuff like that, you don't get shot in the knee. You get shot right in the testicles, Demi.
Yeah.
Right in the testicles. So anyway.
He was a prick.
She left unsatisfied and broken while Northcott was hanged. Now, Gordon, he was executed by hanging on October 2nd, and as he was walking up the steps, the little bitch of a boy whimpered and cried. Hey, they're going to hang me. Look at this. I kissed them boys. They're going to hang me. Well, they should have done worse than hang. They should have drawn and quartered him. They should have impaled him. They should have gave him the Iron Maiden. They should have... But I digress.
You're taking this a little personal.
What a son of a bitch.
Did you have some experiences in your life that you'd like to talk about?
Here's what
Show
I'm saying.
Show us on the paper where the bad man touched you.
Well, it's one thing to be a sick-ass serial killer. Yeah. It's another thing to be fucking with the parents afterwards.
Yeah, fawning.
When you do that, you just start taunting, chopping off fingers taunting, one by one.
Yeah.
You know what the world needs?
What?
The world needs Colonel Justice.
Silence.
Yes.
Colonel Justice. You know what? And that is why I left my campaign for presidency, but I will be running for attorney general in this country, too.
We'll follow that closely. What else happened with the chicken coop murder case?
Well, Sanford, he was to a detention facility for 23 months and then got deported to Canada. I'm sure he didn't have a pleasant time in that. Well, by that time, he was probably not that unpleasant for him.
He was a victim in all this, too.
Yeah. Now, Clark, he served in World War II and then worked for 28 years for the Canadian Postal Service. I didn't even know they had a postal service.
Well, how do you think they get the mail in Canada?
Hmm?
How did you think they get the mail in Canada?
Well, shit, half the people up in Canada can't read.
So that's not true. We got a lot of listeners in Canada. Be nice.
I'm only kidding about Canada. You know, I love Canada, but
a
lot of
there.
Those people live in the woods. I'm going to end up moving to Canada before it's all over.
Because you have to.
Yeah, probably because
the government's request. Yeah, you might.
He lived a quiet, humble life, adopted two children, married a woman named June. Now, Clark and his wife were married for 55 years, and when they were involved in a lot of organizations, the Rotary, the PTA.
I wrote that script. There's nothing in there about the Rotary or the PTA. But they were involved in a lot of organizations.
Do you know that they weren't involved with the PTA?
Okay, so the point is he lived a very productive community.
He actually came out of this, I wouldn't say unscathed, but he was... Now, on his deathbed, his son told him he loved him, and Clark replied,
and he was
still scarred and sickened from his experience almost 70 years ago. He said, "Why would you?"
So he carried
that with him. Now, Captain J.J. Jones, J.J. Jones of the LAPD.
Yeah, the one who do the Code 12 on Christine.
He was shunned by the whole entire world. The whole entire world.
Like people in friggin' Tobago shunned him.
He tried to go to Tahiti. Yes. They wouldn't even talk to his ass out there. Yeah.
So to Madagascar, they shunned him there as well.
He joined the French Foreign Legion, and that's the only people that would have anything to do with him.
I don't believe that's true, but he was shunned in his community, right?
Okay, well, he was outcast.
Yeah.
He was ordered to compensate Collins for making her Code 12, but never did pay up. In September 1930, she won a lawsuit against him and was awarded $10,800, which would be $154,000 in today's money, which Jones never paid. Now, the last account of Christine is from 1941 when she attempted to collect a $15,000 judgment against Captain Jones, who was retired. She never did find a son. She did remarry, but never again had... This is the mother, Miss Collins. She never found a son, never remarried, never had another child. She lived a quiet, uneventful life. She all but vanished from the public eye and can only be unearthed through old public records. The date of the death varies, but we do know that she died with hope for her little... She died with hope. That's, you know... And now in 1933, Arthur Hutchins Jr. wrote about how and why he impersonated the missing boy.
Okay.
This is the one who showed up saying...
Yeah, he wanted to go to California to see Tom Mix, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
His biological mother died when he was 9, and he'd been living with his stepmother, Violet Hutchins. He pretended to be Walter Collins to get as far as possible away from her. She was apparently not a pleasant woman. So after living on the road for a month, he arrived in DeKalb, and when police brought him in, they began to ask him about Walter Collins, and Hutchins said he didn't know what the hell he was talking about, but he changed his story when he saw the possibility of getting to California.
Yeah.
And he thought, well, this is my big chance. So after he, after Arthur Hutchins reached adulthood, he sold concessions at carnivals.
He became a carny.
He's
he
a
became
carny.
A carny. He eventually moved back to California as a horse trainer and a jockey. And he died of a blood clot in 1954. Poor he guy. Did have a kid, and according to his daughter, she said, my dad was full of adventure. In my mind, he could do no wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he was only 12 at the time, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to think of it. You got to give him a little bit for having some initiative.
Yeah.
You know, so...
All right, so any other thoughts, Colonel, on Gordon Northcott or the Wineville chicken coop murders?
Well, I think that we need to set examples of people like this. I mean, this is why the Colonel, although I'm against the death penalty, mm-hmm. I'm for public executions.
You're for torture.
I'm for public torture. I think that what they should have done was got a really, really, really hot poker
mm-hmm.
and sodomized him for a little bit with it.
Well, it sounds like he was sodomized growing up, so he's used to it.
Yeah, no, not used to a hot poker.
Okay.
And then get progressively larger hot pokers until you got a poker the size of damn near a telephone pole and keep sodomizing him.
I see. That's Colonel Justice.
That's part of Colonel Justice. Now, that's just for him.
Okay.
For the mother.
Yeah.
What I would do with her, she was just crazy. I'm not sure that she killed anybody. Why? What I do is put her in prison and wake her up every morning with a big bucket of ice water.
Okay.
Why?
So you do the ice bucket challenge on her daily?
Every single day.
Yeah. Brandy, any final...
I think life does that to her.
Any final thoughts on Gordon Northcott or Christine Collins or anyone in our story today?
Nope.
Was it an interesting story? Did you enjoy it?
I did.
Did you listen?
I've seen the movie.
Oh, okay.
I know how it works.
So did they have the murderer in the movie? I didn't see
it. I think it was one of the follow-up towards the end. It's been a long time since I've seen it. But,
okay. The chain link.
But it does show that the cops were really mean to her.
Yeah. Okay. Where can people find us, Brandy?
They can find us on the iTunes.
The iTunes, absolutely.
They can find us on Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Libsyn.
Uh-huh.
We're on Twitter.
At HistoryDweebs1.
Yes.
We will be the musical guest on Saturday Night Live.
Not without a YouTube channel, we won't.
Mm-hmm. We're hoping someday to be on YouTube.
Yes, someday. And we also have our Facebook page. So like us, leave us a comment. Tim finds great joy in sending us things that people think that Chuck's an asshole. So
yeah, when we get comments, I share it with the rest of the team because I'm a giver.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, so Chuck and I, or the Colonel and I, are going to go file a Code 12 mm-hmm. on Brandy.
On the devil.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So for the rest of you, we'll see you all next time on History Dweebs.
Bye.
Good day.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.